I want to take as my text this morning that reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. If you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 1182. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning at verse 14, which I'd like us to read again, just so it's fresh in our minds. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning at verse 14, the Apostle Paul is writing sometime not so long from the time he'll finally be executed. He's writing from prison in Rome to Timothy, who he had left to be bishop in Ephesus in what is now Turkey and what at the time was called by the Romans Asia Minor. But beginning at verse 14, but he says to Timothy, the pastor, the bishop there, the overseer of house churches in Ephesus, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God or the person of God, the disciple of Jesus Christ, might be competent, equipped for every good work. This morning I want to talk about Holy Scripture, how we learn it, where it comes from, and what it does for us. Holy Scripture, how we learn it, where it comes from, and what it does for us. Indeed, you may have noticed, since we're talking about Holy Scripture, that Holy Scripture figures large at Holy Cross. And that's because Holy Scripture is where it all begins. Now, to be clear, we don't worship Scripture, and the Scriptures aren't God. But the Scriptures are central to what we know about God. Indeed, in the Scriptures, we find the words of the prophets, we find the words of the apostles, we find the words of Jesus himself. And it is through these that God speaks to us. Indeed, the writers of the Hebrews opened his famous letter. In Hebrews chapter 1 and beginning at verse 1, he said, long ago, writing in the first century, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days in which we now live, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he created the worlds. Or Hebrews chapter 2 and beginning at verse 3, and how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, as this salvation was declared to us at first by the Lord, by Jesus, and then it was witnessed, it was attested to us by those who heard him. While God also bore witness in their lives by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributing them according to his will. These are the things that we read about in the New Testament. And so in the Scriptures, we find the words of the prophets, we find the words of the apostles, we find the words of Jesus himself, and it is through all of these that God speaks to us. And so I want to talk this morning about Holy Scripture. And the first thing I'd like us to notice is Holy Scripture and how we learn it. And perhaps here what we're talking about primarily is intergenerational transmission. Indeed, notice again verses 14 and 15. But as for you, Timothy, continue. Don't give up, but continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, that of which you're convinced, knowing from whom you learned it. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul starts off in verse 14. He says to Timothy, but as for you, and here the Apostle Paul is drawing a contrast. In fact, if you just back up a little bit to get the context and understand why we're beginning with the word but in verse 14. Notice verses 12 and 13. Indeed, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly, to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. In fact, I remember a young man in ministry, and he was saying, oh, you know, I want to be persecuted. I said, well, all you got to do is do what's right, and someone will take exception to that. And depending on what power they possess, they'll use it against you, just depending on how insistent you are on doing what's right. Indeed, all who desire to live godly, a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. Verse 13, while evil people and imposters, that is, those pretending to be believers, will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. And then we come to verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, or what you know to be the truth. Stick with it. The word, literally the word continue in the Greek is remain. Remain. I don't know why I just thought about this. Bikers do it, and so did the old sailors. And maybe because of just they used to tattoo on their fingers. Well, some still do. What do they put on their fingers? Hold fast. Continue. Be committed. In fact, somebody has written, commitment isn't an act. Commitment is a way of life, and when it is, how you do anything becomes how you do everything. Or Churchill's famous line, success is never final, failure is not fatal, it's the courage to continue that counts. Continue! Continue. But as for you, verse 14, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed and know from whom. And by the way, in the Greek, the pronoun whom is in the plural. It's more than one person. Knowing from whom you learned it. Indeed, with the reference that follows in verse 15 about Timothy's childhood, perhaps Paul here is thinking of Timothy's mother and grandmother, whom he mentions in what we have as the first chapter of 2 Timothy in verse 5, where we read, and Paul's writing to Timothy and saying, and I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. And this is the point that, by and large, and there are exceptions, this is how it works. Namely, that children learn the faith from their parents. In fact, a word to parents from Howard Hendricks as it relates to this, and in general. Dr. Hendricks, who was a professor of mine when I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, he said, you cannot impart to others what you do not possess yourself. You cannot impart to others what you do not possess yourself. But Timothy's mother Eunice and grandmother Lois were faithful believers. And so Paul says to Timothy, but as for you, continue. I'm going to be dead pretty soon, even though I'm telling you, come and see me, come to Rome before winter and bring the cloak that I left in Troas and bring the parchments because I still have other letters to write. But I'm going to be gone, and what I'm saying to you is continue in what you've learned even after I'm gone. And those things that you firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, knowing that you learned it from true believers, people that you love and trust. And Paul continues in verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred words, the sacred scriptures. We would say Holy Scripture, the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And according to the tradition that arises out of the scriptures themselves, this is exactly what we learn from the scriptures, that this is how it was meant to work. And so we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and beginning at verse 4, which begins with the great Shema. Hear, O Israel! Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And these words that I command you, these words that I command you, these words that have been chiseled into stone, these words that have been written down and are passed on from one generation to the next. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. Listen, by the way, Sunday school can't do for you what you can do for your children. It's not possible. You have them with you all the time. And in some cases, we get them once every 7 weeks. Right? And notice the regularity, the divine intent. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so that's the first thing. Holy Scripture and how we learn it. Then secondly, Holy Scripture and where it comes from. And here we're, I suppose, talking about Scripture's ultimate source. Indeed, notice again what Paul says in verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It's a very interesting statement because he's talking about God's relationship to the Scriptures. Usually, the reference is to God and how he works in the person who speaks on his behalf. But here is a very interesting. Perhaps because it's a record of such speaking. And notice that Paul says all Scripture. I mean, we all have our favorites, right? Those the ones that you stick up on your mirror in the bathroom, and ones that you got by this kitchen sink. And the verse you go to, right? So maybe something like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I've been using that one the last couple of weeks, right? But Paul says all Scripture, and so not just the bits that we like. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and so Paul describes Scripture as being breathed out by God. The Greek word is theonoustos. It's theos as God, and noustos is like spirit, breathing, breath, wind. The main point being that Scripture finds its ultimate source in God. I've said this before, and others have said it. I mean, I read books, and I enjoy them, and I've never written a book myself, but I sure read books by people who write them. And they oftentimes are very interesting and informative, but when I read the scriptures, I hear the voice of God. And that's the difference. And so we even read in the scriptures themselves, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, Peter the apostle says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, never. But rather men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Or again, Hebrews 1, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." And so while it's true that Paul's primary reference when he talks about a scripture here in this 16th verse, he's primarily referring to the Old Testament, which in the first century would have been the Bible of the earliest church. I mean, the New Testament, as we know it, was in process of being written. Nothing had been collected up into a codex or what we would think of as a Bible. And so that's his primary reference. But this description of Scripture would apply equally to the New Testament, because there we find the words of Jesus, and there we find through whom God the Father speaks, and the message of the apostles through whom the Spirit speaks. In fact, I was just reading that this morning, and Jesus praying in his famous prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 17, and he says, "Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." And he told them, "And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will lead you into all truth." Eugene Peterson, in his book titled Working the Angles, he says this about who's really speaking in the scriptures. He says, "A living God speaks a living word, and the scriptures are the written representation of that word." Or in our own Articles of Religion, I believe it's the 20th article, the Bible is described as God's word written. And so that's the second thing: Holy Scripture and where it comes from. Thirdly and finally, we have Holy Scripture and what it does for us. And here we're talking primarily about Scripture's spiritual profitability and Scripture's intended purpose. Indeed, notice again verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God," the person of God, actually the word is anthropos, which would be a more generic word, "that the man of God," the person of God, "may be competent or complete, equipped for every good work." And so Paul says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. And the first thing he mentions, profitable for teaching. For teaching what? For teaching truth about so many things. And so it's profitable for teaching, and Paul says, and it's profitable for reproof. Well, that's a word that we don't much hear, but it means to rebuke. Remember what, I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, the sting in every rebuke is the truth. Huh. Isn't that funny? It's the truth that makes us mad. Actually, it's an opportunity to be set free, isn't it? But Scripture is profitable for reproof, that is, for refuting, for rebuking, for convicting. For, if you like, leveling a judgment and the pointing out of a fault. Peter said in the Message, put it this way, for the exposing of our rebellion. Or in the New Living Translation, showing us what's wrong in our lives. And that's what Scripture does sometimes. Or that's one of its functions. And it's doing us a favor when it does? Of course, this is the first step toward making anything right, is having pointed out what is wrong. And so Scripture is profitable for reproof. I remember when I was younger, I used to be driving down the road, and the last thing I wanted to see on my dashboard was a red light. Right? Because I didn't want to feel what you feel when the red light comes on the dashboard. But as I got older and something seemed not to be right, I'm wishing, please, would you turn on the red light? And then when I was older, I had all kinds of lights that could turn red with little icons, and they would kind of put me in the ballpark of what it is that I might need to correct. But that's a blessing, not a curse. And so Scripture is profitable for reproof. And Paul says that Scripture is profitable for correction. One might call correction reproof applied. Indeed, correction isn't merely naming the problem like reproof is, but it's the fixing of the problem. Correction is the righting of what is wrong. Indeed, if you're headed in the wrong direction, correction is getting you headed in the right direction. As C.S. Lewis put it in The Great Divorce, in one of his characters, the character said, "I don't think that all who choose the wrong roads perish, but their rescue consists in being put back on the right road." And so Scripture is profitable for correction. And Paul says that Scripture is profitable for training in righteousness. That is discipline that results in righteousness. We might think of it as spiritual coaching. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures has a way of doing that. Of teaching and reproving and correcting and coaching. As Peterson put it in The Message, training us to live God's way. And all of these things that Scripture does for us, teaching, reproving, correcting, and training, are all meant to bring us to Scripture's ultimate purpose. Notice verse 17. That the man of God or the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. To be complete means to be fit, to be capable. To be competent. To be ready to meet whatever is required. And to be equipped means to be completely and properly outfitted. To have the tools you need. To play the game. The weapons you need and the defensive implements you need to fight the war. And all of this, Paul says, for every good work. That is for everything God is calling you and me to do. Howard Hendricks again, in his book titled Living by the Book, he wrote this. He said, "I've been a follower of Jesus Christ for 70 years, and I can assure you that reading God's word has made all the difference in my experience as a believer. And it'll do the same for you," he says. "It will revolutionize your life. It is the key to spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, and spiritual effectiveness." And so I wonder, how would you describe your relationship to Holy Scripture? Mark Hall, the leader of the Christian group Casting Crowns, he said at a live event we went to while COVID was raging. It was all outside. But he said this, and I scratched it down. He said, if you're not in the Word of God for yourself, your life will be directed by all the wrong voices. And so I wonder. God speaks to us through His Word. But if we're not in the Word, how can we hear His voice? And if we're not hearing His voice, whose voice are we hearing? Holy Scripture, how we learn it, where it comes from, and what it does for us. Amen? Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. What a gift. Some have called it a love letter. Depending on one's personality, either that works or it doesn't. But apart from that, it is what it says it is. It is what Jesus says it is. He said, not one jot or tittle shall, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it. Because it's truth. And it's good. Lord, give us an appetite for it, even as Peter wrote to his community and said, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word. Long for it that you might grow thereby. And so wherever we may be, Lord, some are reading 4 chapters a day. And some would do well maybe to read 4 verses a day. But one doesn't go from T-ball to the World Series overnight. It's a path to be trod. It's a journey to be taken. But we're not taking the journey. If we're just sitting somewhere, change has to take place. We have to engage. And so help us to do it. Help us to figure out where we are and start to feast on this Word. When we think of Jesus saying, man does not live, quoting Deuteronomy, quoting the Scriptures that are God-breathed, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I pray, Lord, that we would believe that. And in believing it, pursue it, to consume it, to eat it like food, and find our souls refreshed and find our hearts equipped and our minds directed to the light and to the way that leads to salvation. Lord, for our soul's health, for your greater glory, and for the good of all those around us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.